We're the Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers number one. Yes, we're the Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers number one.
Hello, you're listening to the listener request episode for week 5 of the NFL season. Just because of how long some of the previous have been, rather than make an episode 2 hours long, I always still make sure I get to your beautiful and perfect and wonderful listener questions. And so this week we had a couple of good ones that I want to make sure that got answered. The first one's from at Houston Houdini. And make sure to follow at Houston Houdini. He is part of Bowery Blocks Masthead. He's been writing a really good matchup article for the college football season, and so you know which offensive tackle versus which defensive end to pay attention to. And with the Texans set to be 1-7 during the Davis Mills segment of the season until Tyrod Taylor comes back, which who knows what they're going to do whenever Taylor gets back, we'll be talking and thinking about the NFL draft in October instead of February and January this time around. So his first question was, as it currently stands, the Texans are not the betting favorites for the first overall pick, with both Jacksonville and Detroit winless. If the number one quarterback and the number one non-quarterback, defensive end Thibodeau, are off the board, is that potentially a good thing, considering how the Clowney draft went? Yeah, this is kind of like the interesting thing about the Texans draft next year, where every single, all the analysis kind of coming out about the 2022 NFL draft is that there's a lot of quarterbacks, but none of them are elite. And so there's a lot of guys like Howell, like Willis, like Rattler, and each have their own kind of strange issues with their own performance in their game that there's not a clear cut number one pick. And it's still early on in the season. And even though we're kind of hearing that around week 5, Willis is the best quarterback right now, according to Mel Kiper, it usually changes by the end of the year. And there's always a guy or two that, jumps up the boards and kind of changes the whole thing around. But so for Houston, it's do you want to, if you have 3 top 10 picks potentially after you trade Deshaun Watson, do you want to do a Carolina Panthers sort of thing and just take 3 defensive players and add talent to that side of the ball because the defense is terrible? And then that way you kind of build a better situation for a rookie quarterback or a young quarterback than you would otherwise in throwing them to the fray on a team without any talent, a la David Carr. Or you kind of run the risk of not taking quarterback early, then you become too good to take one high up in the draft, and now you're trading draft picks to do so, like San Francisco did this past year. Or you kind of end up on the quarterback carousel like Houston was on for so long until you trade up for Deshaun Watson, and kind of the hell that the Colts are living in, going from Andrew Luck to booing Andrew Luck when he retired, to Jacoby Brissett, to Phillip Rivers, now Carson Wentz. And so it's a hard spot to be in. And I personally think if you have you go for the quarterback until you find a quarterback that works out. And until you find that franchise guy, it's hard to figure the rest of those parts of it out. And Houston just is so talentless too that, it makes that sort of reasoning, even though I feel like that's the best way to do it, makes it that much more difficult to kind of stand by because they can use players at any single part of the roster. And that was why I thought the Davis Mills pick last year in the 3rd round was as bad as it was. But that's more due to the fact that Mills was bad and at Stanford, and most 3rd round quarterbacks aren't very good either. But looking at the 2014 draft, it was Clowney 1, Greg Robinson 2, Blake Bortles 3, Sammy Watkins 4, Khalil Mack 5, Jake Matthews 6, Mike Evans 7, Justin Gilbert 8, Anthony Barr 9, Eric Ebron 10, Terrell Lewan 11, Odell Beckham 12, Aaron Donald 13, and he, of course, was the best player from that draft as well, too. I mean, I don't think you can, use as a one-size-fit-all sort of perspective and use the 2014 draft as an example. I think the 14 draft just kind of points to how much of a crapshoot the draft really is, where the best players in this draft were Darnold picked at 13, Mack picked at 5, Martin picked at 16, Derek Carr picked at 36, Mosley at 17, Brandon Cooks at 20, Evans at 7, Matthews at 6, then Devontae Adams at 53. And then Corey Linsley, you're right behind Odell Beckham by career props and value at 161. They're like, yeah, I mean, even if you have enter a draft where like it's a clear cut, you know, this is an all-time defensive player, even then, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. The career injuries can happen. You may not find the right scheme for him. You may have a player who can't pick up sacks, but is football good and kind of messes with the perception what he is as well, too. That kind of puts you in a weird spot as well. So I don't really buy, like, 14 is something to point to for, like, this year at all, but I think 14 is an example of just how crazy the draft can kind of be, too. But yeah, like, until I'm able to start watching these quarterbacks and have a better idea of them, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if they do try to go the route of let's build talent first instead of quarterbacks. But we'll just see, like, what happens with Willis and Rattler and Howell and all these guys as we get a little bit closer to it as well. So the next few questions from at Chilcuts Deep, who's a San Francisco 49ers fan as well, too, now. And his first question is, Kasira mentioned giving Desmond King more reps outside cornerback. Why? Wouldn't it make more sense to keep him inside, see if he's worth a longer-term contract, while letting Moreland or someone else more suited to the outside get a chance there? And this is a great point because we watched Desmond King last week as an outside cornerback, and he wasn't good out there. He got beat twice deep. He's not good as like a pure man coverage corner. Like even all of his slot reps that he's had over his career in Tennessee and Los Angeles, when he's playing the slot as like a pure press man corner, he's not good in that role at all. He's a guy you want playing zone coverage. You want even playing as like a linebacker in nickel situations because he's such a good tackler. He's really good in hook zones. He sees the field fairly well from there. But I think kind of the problem that they've had is that Vernon Hargraves is terrible. And their other cornerbacks are Tavier Thomas and Tre'Mont Smith. And so it's like, what are you going to do if you bench Vernon Hargraves? You're going to put Tavier Thomas over there at the outside. And so Houston kind of like is in a spot where they don't have the safety play to play cover three, even though they played a lot of cover three last week against Buffalo, where Lonnie Johnson Jr. was pantsed by Josh Allen multiple times. They don't have the linebacker play or the front seven pass rush to play cover two, which they were playing to start the year, and they got crushed in that. And they don't have the cornerback play man coverage at all. And so you're kind of in like a really bizarre spot where, you know, you don't really know at all what to do here. But yeah, I agree with this reasoning too. Like, what makes King an interesting player and what makes him fun to watch is the fact of, like, he's a 5'10" linebacker who's a great tackler, who closes in on gaps well, who is a good hook zone defender. Like, the best play he's made this year was playing a linebacker position where he played the hook zone, defended a pass, and, like, show more coverage, you know, prowess than, you know, Christian Kirksey or Cunningham has it all this year. And so I think using him more as, like, a linebacker nickel situations would be a better use of him than him playing as a pure outside cornerback. So they're just kind of like, they did this because they don't want to play Vernon Hargraves. But I think you have a better idea what you have in King. You have a better idea of like maybe if you could get a fifth round pick for him at the trade deadline, or if you're going to keep him here long term with him at the slot, than him playing on the outside as well too. His next question is, I caught a portion of Texans All Access on the radio yesterday. We are 4 weeks in, and Vandermeer and Harris are already asking Kasira about his college prospect scouting process. That's a bad sign, right? Yeah, it's a bad sign. And it's kind of like the bummer about this season where, like, I like, being personally, like, I like the NFL. I'm not a big college football fan at all. The games take too long. They take 4.5 hours. I didn't go to any of those crappy schools at all. You know, unless, like, you have, like, the luster of previous days of binge drinking surrounding the game, like, it's really hard to, for me personally, to get, like, really riled up to watch, you know, Texas and Arkansas or anything like that at all. And so I don't really watch the NFL draft until next year. And I think part of it, too, is that so much of the NFL draft is, you know, where these guys end up. Like, you can look at a guy's film and think, you know, have a good idea of who he is as a player in college, but then he goes to a different team and the scheme doesn't fit his needs, or they're a team that isn't very good developing players and things turn out entirely different. I think a good example of that was, like, Justin Madubuike. Like, I thought he was a flash player where it kind of really, like, he had a lot of potential. It kind of mattered where he ended up. And he ended up going to Baltimore where he's been, like, a really interesting prospect. He's made some big splash plays. He's had some good interior rushers. He's settled in as a starter on that defense already 1 year into the second year of his career at a defensive tackle position. But, like, whereas, like, in Houston, he would be fighting for snaps with, like, Jaleel Johnson and Malik Collins. And we'd say, like, where's, you know, Madubuike? He sucks. He's not a very good player. He's not on the field at all ever. But it's also just kind of, like, part of you know, one team's good developing front seven talent, and the other team isn't. So like, the Ravens are a team who's better equipped to, you know, getting the most out of a front seven defender compared to somebody like, you know, maybe Detroit or like Houston or, you know, Jacksonville. And so it is a bad sign. It's a bummer because I'm going to keep writing about, you know, the Texans and writing about the NFL in general. And a lot of it, I think, is going to fall on deaf ears because everybody's going to be so focused on the draft, because once again, they're going to be 1-7 here at Davis Mills pretty soon. And so the last question we have here is from Ed Chill Cuts Deep once again. He said, can the Texans get a first and a second for Tunsil? If so, would you do that deal? For what it's worth, I would maybe request a DC young player too, like Jacob Martin. You know, like, I think with Tunsil, they can't trade him this year because they restructured his contract. And like, I was all aboard and trying to trade Tunsil last offseason. You know, they bought Tunsil as he's a top, like, you know, five or so left tackle when it comes to pure pass protection. He's the sort of guy who can neutralize the top pass rushers in the league. And you trade, you have Tunsil on your team, so that way you don't have to chip. You don't have to worry about Myles Garrett ruining your entire offensive game plan. And the Texans have kind of done some dumb things like chip for Laremy Tunsil and kind of like limit what makes him as special a player as he is, because now you have one less guy going out in pass routes. You're also changing up his pass, saying you're opening the door for stunts like we saw in that Carolina game and even against Cleveland a few times as well too. And so I think they're really like kind of limiting it with him. But also, he's a terrible run blocker. And he wasn't a good run blocker last year. He was a good run blocker 2 years ago. Him and Tyus Howard have been absolutely abysmal on the backside of outside zone plays. They keep trying to run outside zone right. Hasn't worked very well. And their hip-to-hip double teams haven't been very good now that they're no longer blocking Davon Hamilton. And they're blocking guys like Derrick Brown. And they're blocking, you know, guys like Star Lutalei and Malik McDowell. They aren't the same. Their double teams aren't working as good as they did, you know, as recently as week one, just because of the level of talent too. And so, yeah, like if they could get first and second for Tunsil, I think that's the trade that you make in a second, but the contract complicates it because of how much money he's owed. And the second thing is that, you know, I don't think a team would trade that much for Tunsil. Like, Tunsil's, again, a good pass protector, but because of how limited he is in the run game, it really doesn't really make him worth that at all. And so I couldn't imagine a world where a team would trade a first and second round pick for him too. And like, I thought kind of like last year, if they wanted to trade Tunsil ahead of the draft, maybe Jacksonville would bite, maybe Carolina would bite, just because of the problems they had the tackle position. But it's a little bit different this year because, you know, you're this far into the season and you also want to make sure like you have a better draft pick too if you were to make that trade. And so I know in earlier this year, whenever the Chiefs made their trade for Orlando Brown, they gave a 2021 first-round pick, a third-round pick, a 2022 fifth-round pick, and a 2021 second-round pick, and a 2022 sixth-round pick, which is insane. And, like, Brown's like a little bit different of a guy because he's also a really, like, great run blocker, but that trade was insane. And it's like, if you think, well, maybe Tunsil's 90% or 85% of Brown just because of his inability to run block, maybe he can get a first-round pick and a third-round pick, you know, but maybe not to the same haul that Baltimore was able to get. But I think even if you're able to get, like, a first for Tunsil, I think that'd be enough to be able to move on from him. And then you could put Tyus Howard left tackle and see what he can do at that position, because Howard's been a very good pure run blocker, even if he hasn't been able to pass block at all. But that would also mean Howard hasn't played a spot aside from center on the offensive line if they were to do something like that also. The last thing I want to say here about this trade request is that I don't think Jacob Martin's good. But Jacob Martin isn't good. He's bad in the run game. He gets reached by defensive ends all the time. He gets pushed out of plays in the outside zone game. In space, teams have really kind of picked on him. You saw what Carolina did to him a few times in that game by using him as a read defender and just kind of like waltzing all the way across the formation against them. Cleveland had some success too, like attacking him on the edge as well. And Buffalo did too. And like, he's just bad in the run game as a pass rusher. He has so much speed that he's able to close the gap whenever he's able to occasionally when his pass rush moves. And that's why he has the sack totals that he has, is because of his quickness, you know. But all tackles do is they overset his speed move. And then if he can't get around him, he has no plan aside from that. aside from chopping a lot. And yeah, like if he chops your hands, if you're able to quickly recover and shoot your hands back lower on his chest, he's done. He can't bull rush at all. And like until Martin learns some sort of a bull rush, which he probably will never do because he weighs 240 pounds, he's not going to be a good defensive end. He's not going to be a good edge rusher at all. And like I think Martin's like, you know, somebody who you just want in a 3-4 defense as a situational pass rusher. Like that's the most you can ask from. And it's excellent to try and make him an every down player, and it hasn't worked at all so far. So anyways, those are our questions for this week's episode of Battle Red Radio as far as this, as the weekly preview goes. You know, next Thursday night, if you have any questions that you want to add, it's there on Twitter. You can also send me any messages directly if you have any questions that you have for the weekly preview show. Until next time, I'm Matt Weston. Thank you for listening to Battle Red Radio. And thank you for listening to me tonight.
That sounded good to me. I thought it was pretty good.